up the finished work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty. That's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 0219-9910.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar & Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Dan Beyer.
They're just getting underway in the second half of a round of 32 match at the World Cup in Houston. Japan leads Brazil by a score of 1-0. It's the first of three matches today. Today on Fox from Foxborough, Massachusetts, it's Germany against Paraguay. Netherlands and Morocco will play tonight from Guadalajara at 9 o'clock Eastern time on Fox. The Golden State Warriors will reportedly pursue LeBron James and Anthony Davis in free agency, according to ESPN. Draymond Green declining his player option allows the Warriors to pursue that duo. Clippers and Raptors are talking about a deal that would send Kawhi Leonard back to Toronto, where ESPN says he'd be willing to sign a long-term extension. An NBA veteran, Malik Beasley, has been indicted on federal gambling charges related to a sports gambling scheme. Former Titans running back Chris Johnson publicly revealed that he's been diagnosed with ALS. Victor Hovland topped Scottie Scheffler on the first playoff hole to win the Travelers Championship.
Fox Sports Update on the Right Choice, KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar & Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your Agribusiness Update. Well, California Farm Bureau joined over 100 agricultural groups urging Congress to provide additional funding and staffing support for local USDA Farm Service Agency and Natural Resource Conservation Service offices. The coalition highlighted growing concerns that staffing reductions, retirements, and workforce attrition have led to delays and service disruptions across the country. The offices play a critical role in administering farm programs, conservation assistance, disaster relief, and technical support for farmers. Well, calling it the Agricultural Act of 2026, Senate Ag Chair John Bozeman released his farm bill discussion text last week, saying it's built for farmers, ranchers, and producers. It improves existing commodity, dairy, standing disaster, and crop insurance programs while expanding opportunities tailored to the unique needs of specialty crop producers. The legislation also streamlines and strengthens conservation programs and bolsters Buy American requirements across nutrition programs. Well, the National Pork Producers Council is urging Senate ag leaders to address the growing patchwork of state livestock production laws, primarily California's Proposition 12. However, a draft released by Senate Ag Chair John Bozeman did not include language addressing Prop 12. NPPC President Rob Brenneman says America's pork producers will continue to advocate for a Prop 12 fix like our livelihood depends on it, because it does.
For the last 40 years, the Ag Information Network has been the source of news for farmers and ranchers. Yet we have never seen such an assault on farming and our food supply as we do today. From fuel to fertilizer, farmers are facing unprecedented economic challenges. This is why agriculture news that farmers receive comes from the Ag Information Network, reaching coast to coast. Deep roots in farming and decades of reporting, the Ag Information Network, trusted and transparent journalism for generations. Impressions. On social media, they're peddled for pennies on platforms like Facebook that can be biased, even censored. So what are you really getting for your advertising dollar? I invite you to join the Southeast Regional Ag News Radio Program, where our impressions are priceless, where it's impossible to put a value on information that empowers farmers and ranchers. If you're a company that values the impression you have within our ag community, support this radio station by sponsoring the Southeast Regional Ag News Program.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson, and this has been your Fruit Grower Report.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Pass Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Pass Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are trying to hold on to gains in afternoon trading on easing U.S.-Iran tensions, with the Dow on track for its 18th record close this year. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 are also on track to snap a five-session losing streak. The Magnificent Seven big-cap tech stocks are mostly higher, led by Tesla, Amazon, and Alphabet. Shares of the Google parent are up 4% on its first day as a Dow member. Investors are looking ahead to the June jobs report, which will be released on Thursday morning. Strong data could fuel rate hike concerns. And Rocket Lab has agreed to buy Iridium Communications in a cash and stock deal worth around $8 billion that would give it control over a satellite fleet and access to wireless resources that it could use to compete with SpaceX. Shares of Rocket Lab are up 16%, while Iridium stock is surging over 20%. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Progressive presents Heroes That Keep Truckers Going. Today's hero, the true crime podcaster you listen to during a long haul. Yes, you may never look at a pair of pliers the same way again. Or your spouse using pliers. But boy, you were entertained. Thanks, hero. Another thing that can keep truckers going? Progressive truck insurance with primary liability limits up to $2 million. Get a quote at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. $2 million limit is not available in all states.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
What's a better way to control crime? Take guns away from law-abiding citizens or impose mandatory sentences on criminals who use guns? I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
Yesterday, I talked about the odd proposal by President Ford's new Attorney General, Edward Leavy, to put strict federal controls on the use of guns in urban areas which have high or rising crime rates. Mr. Leavy's proposal would limit even more the already limited protection law-abiding citizens have in those parts of the country where they need it most. I believe the proposal would also be a clear and unconstitutional infringement on the rights of the states to govern their own internal affairs. Mr. Leavy, in his eagerness, seems to have overlooked this. Let's hope he has second thoughts. Let us hope also that he gives serious thought to how we can control crime, violent crimes, without infringing on the hereditary and constitutional rights of a free people. There are two ways to do this. Steps can be taken at all levels of government, local, state, and federal, that are aimed at the lawbreaker, not the law abider. They aren't new steps. They involve swift and sure punishment for those who are convicted of using deadly weapons, guns, knives, clubs, and so forth, in the commission of crimes. In 17th century England, highwaymen using loaded guns were executed. Nobody suggests that we go that far today. But I believe it's imperative that every government, state and the federal, set mandatory prison sentences for persons using guns in the commission of crimes. Any person using a gun for criminal purposes should have the most stringent conditions attached to any possible parole, too. I believe that criminals using guns should be barred from ever owning or using guns again. It should be made very difficult for such persons to incur any new debts to society. Many judges, many government officials, and many citizens need to revise their thinking about the reason for laws and about the need for prisons. It seems to me the main purpose for prisons is to protect the law-abiding members of society from those who would prey upon them. A secondary purpose is to punish criminals, with the idea that punishment is a deterrent to future crime. A third reason is to rehabilitate. But the fact is that rehabilitation is largely a myth. Some persons can be trained so they can earn honest livings. Perhaps a few will even come to know the error of their ways. But let's not kid ourselves about the overall effectiveness of rehabilitation. And let's not lose sight of the main purpose for putting people in prison: the right of society to protect itself from those who would disobey its laws. It's likely there would be less crime in America if more tough judges were appointed, if sure and swift justice were meted out, and if more violent criminals were jailed. I, for one, would be grateful if the Attorney General would concentrate more on getting criminals behind bars and worry less about ways to take guns away from law-abiding citizens. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner-broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We moved from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Tachi Palace Casino Resort presents an unforgettable summer of live entertainment. Catch country sensation Warren Zeiders on July 2nd, R&B legends Boyz II Men on July 9th, island favorites Kolohe Kai on July 25th, Aaron Lewis on August 8th, the world-famous Gypsy Kings on August 15th, and comedy superstar Bert Kreischer on September 18th. Tickets are on sale now at TachiPalace.com. Plus, save $5 on each ticket purchased on-site with your Premier Club card. Only at Tachi Palace Casino Resort in Lemoore.
The Red Scooter Deli with two locations, downtown and on 6th Street in Paso Robles. The downtown location on Pine Street is open 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Thursdays now for concerts in the park. Plan your musical enjoyment with a to-go dinner from the downtown Red Scooter Deli. Great deli fresh food delivered throughout Paso Robles, Templeton, the airport area, and wineries. Go to redscooterdeli.com. Don't forget to order your party platters for graduation or Father's Day from the Red Scooter Deli.
K
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Sound Off on this Monday afternoon. Kevin Will in the studio with our special guest this afternoon, Justin Pickard and Blake Wallace. And, of course, it's almost that time of the year again, gentlemen, for something that has become quite amazing at the California Mid-State Fair, and it's the Industrial Arts coming up July 16th. And before we get into a lot of things regarding, you were already put on notice, Blake, that you're going to give us a little history and how this, because what's it, 24, 25 years now?
For me, it's more like 30 plus that I'm doing this. And so we as a small family-owned welding supply back in the mid-90s, A&R Welding, we were approached by some members of the community to get involved with this and take over the program that at that time was being handled through the Napa distributorship here in town. And we stepped in, and the first year we had about 15, we call them student fabricators, 15 student fabricators that came in. And we had, I think our biggest thing was a little hibachi barbecue that we sold. And I believe we brought in about $2,500. And we were ecstatic. It was held during the lunch time of the Cattlemen's and Farmer's Day, which now we've moved to the afternoon of Cattlemen's and Farmer's Day. And then when we were bought by Airgas, we continued on and we got bigger and better. And through the help from Debbie Twistleman, who is the supervisor of the program, and Justin Pickard, Ron Alves with PRW, who's one of the corporate sponsors, Robert Dazell, who is also with Airgas. The program now has grown to something that is really a bragging right for us to see how well it's done. I kiddingly tell Colleen that we're going to take over what the livestock brings in for money. I don't know that we ever will, but we are sure getting bigger every year with the monies that we bring in and the quality of the projects. And basically, it's open to all high school students in San Luis Obispo County. They can come in and they can build a project, and it can be steel, it can be wood and steel, it can be wood, it can be drafting, it can be any one of a number of those things, and we put them into a class. They're judged by a peer group of judges that come from the community, be it fabrication, be it woodworking, be it drafting, and they're judged. If they finish in a second place or higher, they're allowed to go on to the auction if they so choose. Some of the kids decide to stay private, and they keep the project for the family or for somebody that wants to have it for themselves.
I want to go back when you said initially about 15 kids. Was that they just word of mouth, or was that, you know, put out a notice through the school or something like that, and then as the word kind of got around that, and obviously you've had a lot more kids.
Yeah, it was initially it was just kind of grandfathered in from what it used to be, and really it wasn't pushed. It wasn't pushed by kind of other than the North County schools, and even at that, it was maybe two high schools that took part in it. And then we really, really put out an effort to get the other schools involved in the county, but we also pushed for the local schools. Justin was at Paso High and Atascadero High, Templeton, San Luis. We started getting a lot of participation from those schools, and we went from having the 15 kids that came in to now we're at about 65 items that go up for auction on that day. And that's culled back from probably close to 90 that originally are submitted to be judged and pushed on.
Justin, there's more. I'm assuming there's qualifications or judging
other than the kids that reach it to the auction. So there are other kids out there with projects that, you know, for whatever reason, fell a little bit short, but you're still getting a lot more to participate in this over the year than just the numbers that we see at the auction.
Absolutely. This is just the show itself beyond the auction has grown tremendously in terms of students wanting to engage. And that largely comes through due to the fact that we've had sponsorship support that really incentivizes students to want to show, whether it goes to auction to sell or if they want to keep it for private reasons like Blake was talking about. And Airgas, from my time when I was at Paso High, Airgas was the corporate sponsor that was also in charge of primary prize acquisition for the students. But it's grown so much within even our local community here, from San Luis Obispo, actually down to Santa Maria, we have prize sponsorships that students really want to engage, whether or not they sell in the auction.
Is it, you know, for us here in the North County, a little, braggadocious, does it seem that more kids in the North County are involved, or is it evenly spread throughout the county?
We do have a little bit more North County participation. Last year, we saw participation all the way down to the boundary in Napomo. Unfortunately, after kind of reviewing some of the entries for this year, doesn't appear that we're going to have those students participate again from down in that area. But we were starting to see a little bit more expansion into the southern part of our boundary zone.
Is there a limit to each category of how many can end up at the auction or win or anything? Well, like, again, I guess my example would be, could you have all the winners be from the same category? Do they, I mean, I know that may not happen, but is there a concerted effort to make sure that it's kind of gets spread around?
Really, it comes down to that Danish system where a winner could come from any of the categories because you have your small, medium, and large projects. And what's happening different this year with the online entry form system is that students enter their project based off of the size, and then they have to opt into wanting to be considered for the auction itself. So taking into consideration somebody that might have a smaller project that's really well done versus a large-scale project, which we saw a tremendous amount of large-scale projects last year, bigger doesn't always necessarily mean that that's where the champion project's going to come from. So when you're evaluating the quality of the project, basically against itself, you could have consideration for a champion, you could have consideration for a judge's award, or you could have consideration for a prize, regardless of which classification it comes from.
And the size, you know, when you mention the bigger projects and the smaller projects, again, I'm assuming that that doesn't necessarily equate to the amount of time that they put in.
Correct. Yeah, there's a variety of projects, and I like to look back at last year because that really forced us to have to look at our facility use, and it was nice because everything worked out really well, you know, knock on wood. But again, with the size of about 7 or 8 projects, from a treehouse to a flatbed trailer, a couple of silo bars, it doesn't necessarily translate into extra time or extra money into it. Some of it just comes down to the ingenuity of the students and the details that they want to put into it and their own efficiencies in the project.
If I can just interject, we have a criteria that we look for, Kevin, and above all, it's safety. It's got to be safe. If it's not safe in any way, shape, or form, whether it's something that sits on a coffee table or it's a tow behind, a trailer or a barbecue or anything like that, it's got to be safe. And within those parameters, it's got to meet the specifications that item has to have. And then we look at fit and we look at finish. We don't want to have something that comes in there the day of that's still dripping with paint or with shellac, or that the guy says, well, you know what, I forgot the stuff at home, I'll bring it tomorrow, all that. No, you had all this time to get this done. You had your instructor, who we hope and we encourage to come by either your shop or the shop at the school and look at what you're doing and make sure that they understand the complexity of what's going up on the auction block or to be judged. And so there's no surprises.
Is there a start date and a end date for everybody that's equal?
It has to be built within this school year. So the 2025-2026 school year is the time frame for when the completion of the project had to start and finish.
Okay, so like most of us with our studying for the test, you could start the night before.
That is a possibility, yeah.
And that's where that criteria comes in, because if you didn't manage your time well enough, and you, again, bring something in that's not complete, it's not going to make the sift. It's not going to get judged. And we hate to do that, but we have to. It's part of kind of growing up. You know, there's a deadline, and you're expected to stay within those deadline parameters. Otherwise, you don't get to go play with everybody else.
And one of the things that we put into the premium book this year was emphasizing the safety factor. So on the opening page for industrial education, those auction rules or policies are clearly listed again, and safety again was just really emphasized. But new for this year is that all towables have to be Department of Transportation, DOT inspected before they hit the fairgrounds, because there is some concern.
Yeah. You know,
when we have stuff that's coming through and then channeling back out to the community, we need to make sure that it's roadworthy and road safe.
Are these projects, can they be made at home, or do they have to be at school or some similar facility?
Could be both. One or the other, or both. They do need to happen under the supervision of an industrial education teacher in the San Luis Obispo County.
Do they have to show plans?
That's up to the instructor. One thing that we are encouraging this year, and will probably formalize for the next year, is the project book that a lot of students have really taken it under their own kind of guidance to promote their projects while at the fair, and have a fantastic documentation of the process throughout. There's actually been a number of people in the community that have just been really impressed by those project books. And so this year there might be a little bit more incentive for the students who have started with taking pictures and documenting, showing their plans, showing their budget, and they want to present that information to potential buyers. It looks like that there's going to be a little bit of incentive for those students that took that extra opportunity this year.
I got to believe, after all the years you've been involved, both of you, that there's probably some kids that just they've got it here, and they can just visualize as they're going along and improvise, as opposed to, you know, I start A, B, Z, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
I would definitely say that there are students out there that have that ability. They're probably going to be considered the exception, not the rule. From what I found with students is being able to visualize in some sort of media, whether it's a basic sketch with some rudimentary dimensions to it, all the way up to a CAD program design that outlines the specific cut requirements for their project. The more that they can visualize, the less likelihood that there's going to be error, and the less likelihood that they're going to have additional costs necessary for the project.
I think last year when you were on, you were saying that, you know, freshmen, maybe. Are there, is there an increase, or, you know, these kids, they know about it, and then maybe they start as a freshman? How are they consistent with a kid that may start as a freshman or a sophomore, that they continue to do it until they graduate?
I think you'd have to look at that as a case-by-case basis in terms of the schools, because some schools have different requirements for themselves, just depending on the flow of their coursework. I will say that anecdotally, looking at some of the students that came across the stage last year, I think that there are younger classmen participation occurring, because that desire to want to stick with this for a four-year program, you know, we're not like livestock, in the sense that you have that graduate year afterwards with a junior livestock auction. For us in the industrial education, it's 4 years. So 9th through 12th grade, students really want to take advantage of that. And we are starting to see, I guess, anecdotally, younger students coming through as fabricators or construction workers, putting together these awesome projects.
I think the other thing that pushes this, Kevin, is the quality of the awards. We're getting high-end welding equipment and high-end fabricating equipment to give away as prizes. And these young student fabricators, they see this, that they have the ability, if they do well enough on their project, that they have a chance to win this and walk away with a prize that is something that they can take home and put in their shop and build next year's, or build a project and make money on the side, or
it's,
whatever.
It's almost like a little scholarship for them, if you think about it, with the expensive equipment. We're going to go to break. We're talking with Justin Pickard and Blake Wallace. The Industrial Arts Show coming to the California Mid-State Fair, July 16th.
I'm not usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Serving San Luis Obispo County for your weed abatement needs, your best bet is Ken Silva. From half acre to 25 acres, integrity, hard work, and quality service. Mowing accomplished with tractor and flail mower, which is cost effective and more efficient. Clean it and cut it with Ken Silva. Free estimates. Call or text Ken Silva, 805-459-6011.
At Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
Welcome back to Sound Off on this Monday afternoon. Kevin Will with our special guest, Justin Pickard and Blake Wallace, the Industrial Arts Show. All right, let's go right to it. You just showed me the picture of the belt buckle. Who gets that?
So we have class winners that are best in show for their particular class, and they're awarded with a one-of-a-kind belt buckle that is emblematic of the California Mid-State Fair, the Industrial Arts Auction. It's got the year and everything else on it. And honestly, Kevin, it's turned into bragging rights with that buckle. We started out doing this with just one buckle for the whole program, and now it's branched into, we give away four or five buckles. I can't remember.
Yeah, we got one for the metal only, one for wood, one for combination. Drafting,
and it's a beautiful buckle. It goes along with being the best in show for your particular project. So it's a slap on the back for doing a great job, and they get to show everybody throughout the year what they won. So it's really cool. It's one of the ways that we're making this program grow.
Justin, you wanted to talk about the name change for the basic welding competition.
Yeah, absolutely. So in 2027, we're going to add another buckle. But this year, we're going to go ahead and change the name of one of the categories of competition from the basic welding, which really outlines foundational skills in the welding industry. Students who complete their welding assignments in their welding course by just showing their demonstration and competency of oxyacetylene welding, shielded metal arc, flux core, gas metal, TIG. They can enter those welds, and I believe there's 48 different entries that can be made this year. But calling it basic welding just seems to, shortchange what the true intention of it is, because it really comes down to students demonstrating those foundational skills. And unfortunately, we lost somebody in this in the welding community, the agriculture community, that took so many young people and gave them a path for success. When you talk to a lot of North County fabricators and individuals in the welding industry, or even maybe just in the construction hands-on industries, there's a name that pops out more often than not, and that's Pat Casey. who was a Templeton FFA advisor for a number of years. And so moving forward, the basic welding competition is going to be referred to and known as the Pat Casey Legacy Welding Competition. So we are really excited that his legacy in the welding and agriculture industry is going to go into really promoting the importance of that foundational set of skills, just like he provided so many students throughout the years.
How many competitors do you have this year?
We had just shy of 90 entries for small, medium, and large projects. We're not sure yet how that's going to sift out for those individuals who opted into the actual auction consideration. And then for the basic welding suite competition, we had probably about 400 entries. Doesn't necessarily equate to 400 students, because a student had, you know, 48 different welds that they could have submitted, but over 400 entries for the welding competition, the Pat Casey Legacy Welding.
Before we went on, you said you wanted to mention something about the tractors.
Well, this year, our awards ceremony is going to be split with the J.B. Duer Tractor Restoration Program. They will also be recognizing their students at the same time as our event that's going on. So we want to make sure that everybody knows in the community to show up for that as well, because it's really an outstanding program that Ken Duer has put together, and his family and company, and the quality of the restoration of the tractors that are out there goes hand in hand with what we're doing. And while I'm at it, Kevin, I'm going to brag on the monies that we've brought in. Last year, we were north of $200,000 that we brought in for the kids, and we're you know, never anticipating a dollar figure, but we sure love to see those numbers grow. And the reason why they grow is because of the outstanding support of our community. We have people that show up that day, and they don't come to anything else through the fair, but they show up and they come and they support and they buy. And if anyone out there is interested in becoming a donor to this, monetarily, or if you've got a prize that you want to put up, please contact the fairgrounds, contact Gina, and she'll get in touch with us, and we can make sure that they're recognized however they want to go about it, if they want to just put money to buying something or they actually want to be there. We have just, you know, the pillars of the North County that help out with this, and they're back there silently, but they are there every year, and we can count on them just like clockwork.
Justin, a question regarding, has there been some sibling rivalries over the years, whether it was a year behind or even a few years after, where, you know, one brother or sister or something like that?
I remember around the time that I actually moved to the area, there was a sculpture from Shandon. And a few years later, all of a sudden I saw, not identical, but I'm going, this other project that I'm seeing just gives me that feeling, that vibe from that sculpture that I saw. And I remember Blake going, yeah, because that's the younger brother of the young man from Shandon that had, I believe it was a Best in a Show.
Yeah.
Or one of the Hired Judges
Awards. He made a life-size elk out of junk that they found on the farm. And it was really impressive. And then the next year, the younger brother built something. And I actually... my yard is a testament to the industrial arts program, because we have so much stuff at the house, but I have a very simple file that this young man turned into a rattlesnake, and it's the coolest thing. But
everybody wants to see that in their backyard. Yeah.
But you know, Kevin, one of the things that we want to touch on is again, how thankful we are to the community, to Airgas, to Pastor Robles Welding for being our main sponsors. They step up and they are there every year for us, and can't say enough about Ron Alves with what he's done and what he's done forever in the community, and also Robert Dizel, who is the branch manager at Airgas. And we really, really appreciate them.
All right, we're going to hit the close here in a little bit. Once again, tell us when this all takes place and the sequences.
July 17th, or excuse 16th. Me, 16th. We're going to be running the industrial education project preview at 11 a.m. At 12 will be the J.B. Duer tractor competition. And then when J.B. Duer's wrapped up around 12:30, 12:45, we're going to go ahead and start the award ceremony portion of the industrial education.
And that's when the bidding and everything starts. All right, that's great. All right, it's become kind of a, not more than a tradition, a staple of the beginning of the California Mid-State Fair. It's pretty neat.
This is a mark your calendars and get ready for fair kickoff kind of event.
It's a great day to tie into Cattlemen's. It's a lot of history there, and we're really, really proud of where it's come.
All right. Thank you, Justin and Blake. And coming up, Susanna will be in following the news at the top of the hour. Thank you for listening to The Right Choice, KPRL, and have a good afternoon.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.